Final warnings before the coming of Messiah. This is Stefan Yah on YahvahYahweh.name, and I know what's new. Read the book of Malachi to know what's new. Malachi chapter 1. In verse 6, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, that's the Messiah speaking here. If I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith Yahweh of hosts unto you. O priests that despise, what? Despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? They've done it many, many ways. You offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that, you say, the table of Yahweh is contemptible. Verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name. And a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith Yahweh of hosts. But you have profaned it, in that you say the table of Yahweh is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. You said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and you have snuffed at it, saith Yahweh of hosts, and you brought that which was torn and lame and sick. Thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith Yahweh? Now, if that isn't self-explanatory there, that sometimes we might think to change Yahweh's law. We might think to bring an offering to him, but instead of what he asks us to bring, we just substitute that for something that's easier or less precious to us. We don't bring him ourselves. We don't come before him in total surrender and bringing him our sacrifices, if I could use that word. Yes. But cursed be the deceiver, which has in his flock a male, and vows and sacrifices unto Yahweh a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith Yahweh of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Or, my name is great among the heathen. We're in the book of Malachi today, and we'll be going through some of these verses through Malachi chapters 1 through 4. That's the last chapter before the so-called New Testament. The book of Matthew is right after this. And there's a lapse of a few hundred years between the so-called Old and so-called New Testament. But I call this the final warning, the final proclaiming of Yahweh's ways and before his coming, before his first coming and before his, well, he's come the first time, but before his second coming. But if we were to go back in history by 2,000 years, then yes, of course, before the first coming, that would have been. Malachi chapter 2. And now, you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart to give esteem unto my name, saith Yahweh of hosts. And how can we, by the way, give him esteem to his name if we're not even using his name, if we're just using a title, or if we're using a corrupt title? Even worse, isn't it? We want to lift up the name of Yahweh, the Father, and Yahusha, the Son. He says, I will send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you did not lay it to heart. In other places in Scripture, he talks about rain being a sign of his blessing, that he won't send the rain unless that you are worthy to be blessed, that you're covered by the righteousness and by the precious blood of Yahusha, the Messiah, who shed his blood on the tree at Calvary 2,000 years ago. Yes, that some call the old rugged stake. Malachi 2:3. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, in other words, your generations, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it, And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, or Levi, saith Yahweh of armies. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear whereof he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. So Yahweh's prophet did these things. He walked with me in peace and equity. Yahweh's messenger. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith Yahweh of hosts. Well, we stumble at the law when we don't obey it. We stumble on that rock of offense, the rock, the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was Yahweh. The word was with Yahweh. It says in the book of John, and also in 1 John. So the next verse now, I hope you're reading along, in the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Let me inject there that being partial in the law means to believe in some of it, or teach some of it, but to deny the other, to discredit the rest of his law, to say that only murder and thou shalt not steal and a few safe commandments like that are okay to obey. But most of the others, like keeping the Sabbath day, that they are not to be obeyed, even though they are found in the New Testament. For example, in Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about the seventh day being the rest. Yes. And if you've been listening to this website, Yahweh Yahweh, of course you know about Hebrews 4. I'm a very simple person, and I tend to just focus, or rather concentrate on certain passages like that. So, verse 10 now. Have we not all one Father? It says in Isaiah 9:6 that the Messiah is our Father. Have we not all one Father? Has not one Yahweh created us? It does say that He's our Creator in Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, many other places. Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Yes, we have defrauded our brother, we have defrauded our Heavenly Father. Verse 14, yet we say, wherefore? Because Yahweh has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant? We're talking about first wife here, the first love. And did not he make one? Yes, when you were married, you became one. After you consummated that marriage on that night. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a goodly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covers violence with his garment, saith Yahweh of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. You have wearied Yahweh with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? Where have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of Yahweh, and he delights in them. Or, where is the mighty one, or Yahweh, where is the mighty one of judgment? Now, by reading chapter 2, we get an idea here that divorce and remarriage that's going on in the nation is a terrible thing. Yahweh says he hates the putting away and dealing treacherously with a wife of your youth. Remember in the days of the wife of your youth, Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And Yahweh, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahweh of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. There's a song by either Tim Daniels or Tim McDaniels called, Who Shall Abide in the Day of the L-O-R-D, or the Day of Yahweh. I would change that. Tim McDaniels, I think it is. Verse 3, And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto Yahweh an offering in righteousness. Verse 4, Then shall the offering of Yehuda and Jerusalem be pleasant unto Yahweh, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers. That's also those who take the pharmaceuticals, the pharmakia, those deceitful drugs. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, from his right side, and those that fear not me, saith Yahweh of hosts. For I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore the sons of Jacob are not consumed. See also James chapter 1, verse 17. With the Father there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. For I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers you are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahweh of hosts, or armies, Yahweh of armies. But you said, Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob Yahweh? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, where saith Yahweh of hosts? If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be a room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. So there won't be an early premature casting of the fruit before the time in the field, saith Yahweh of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Yahweh of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith Yahweh. Yet you say, What have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, It is vain to serve Yahweh. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before Yahweh of hosts? Oh, who has said that now? Well, I have, but I probably said that to myself recently here. Here I've been saved, set apart, been filled with the Spirit. Now, making any corrections and changes. I've kept the feasts, I've kept the new moons. And how am I blessed more than the pagan out there, or the nominal Christian? Well, Don't ask that. Sometimes we need to just doubt ourselves, doubt our doubts. But also I wanted to back up here for a moment and just read over some of these scriptures here here we are in some of the very last chapters before the book of Matthew. The very last book, in fact, before the book of Matthew, before that new covenant, and my, what a warning to us. What a warning to those during the time that Messiah was born in the Sukkot, during the Feast of Tabernacles period there, that 2,000 years ago, the Messiah was born of a virgin. A virgin shall conceive, and behold, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and so on there. I'm quoting here off the top of my head. Let me turn to Isaiah chapter 9, and I will read that a little bit more. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Yah, the Everlasting Father. So even this Messiah spoken of here in Isaiah 9:6 will be called our Everlasting Father. So that explains that when people say, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, and I don't believe in worshiping and praising the Son, because that'd be like having two gods. I even had a messianic leader tell me that he's not sure that that would be idolatry to be praising the Son, commonly called Jesus, or some say Yeshua, and of course here we say Yahusha. But this explains it here. At least there's many other places, but this is one place. The Messiah is called the Everlasting Father. He's our Father, but he's not the Father, the Father of all, Yahweh. He's not the Father. So, if we want to recite the Shema and say, then Messiah does not have any deity or credibility with, as far as that's concerned, or equality with the Father. No, we have to read all the scriptures. We have to read this one in Isaiah 9:6. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. But those nominal Christians and Protestants and even Catholics and Jews say, there is no government, there is no law. Well, then how can he have a government if there is no law? That doesn't make any sense at all. So back to the scripture at hand there, we are reading from the last book before the New Testament, the final warning. And he said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. If you not only keep the tithe, but keep his name, keep from polluting the name of Yahweh. Yes, we don't want to get into idolatry or to have strange Elohim before us or to make possessions, material possessions, to make them our Elohim. We want Yahweh to be all and all, above all. So verse 14, that's 3:14 of Malachi. You have said it is vain to serve Yahweh. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, that we have walked mournfully before Yahweh of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. That happens, isn't it? That the proud people, the self-esteem ones, those who have that proud look, which is an abomination, by the way, are lifted up. They're to be the ones who are supposed to be respected more than anybody, just because they have a little bit more credit, a little more plastic. Verse 15, now we call the proud happy, yea, that they that work wickedness are set up. They that tempt Yahweh are even delivered. Then they that feared Yahweh, so there, here's a transition now in the next verse in 16. Then they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another. And Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return, and you'll be able to discern or make a difference. You'll be able to discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Yahweh and him that serves him not. So then they say, we're not supposed to judge. See John 7:24, however. Judge righteous judgment. But will be able to discern between the righteous and the wicked, says right here. Paul did judging, and those others in the New Testament period of the book of Acts. Malachi chapter 4, "For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that comes shall burn them up, saith Yahweh of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith Yahweh of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, the statutes and judgments." See also Galatians 6:16, which we might even turn there in a little bit here. "Behold, I will send you Eliah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and smite the earth with a curse, or with utter destruction." And those are the last words in the Old Testament. "Remember the law of Moses, my servant." That was the third from the last verse in the Old Testament. "Remember the law of Moses," but the preachers said, "Forget the law of Moses." Well, how can that be? That's absurd. That is so absurd to say that the law was done away with, or that the feasts were done away with, that we can now eat the abomination, the swine, and so on. Well, we're so far 21-some minutes into this message, and we've been reading from the book of Malachi. That was a real blessing, and this final warning before Yahweh's coming. And talks about the resurrection timing. The resurrection timing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, particularly near the latter verses in verse 15, and in chapter 15, rather, of 1 Corinthians. And that it's not when you die that you just get swept off into hell or heaven, but no, according to the order, it clearly says there. Let's see if I can exactly which verse that, along with Thessalonians, that's a, what, 1 Thessalonians or 2nd there or something, but okay. So we'll check up on 1 Corinthians first of all, because I want to set that straight, that we don't just get swept off into heaven. Oh, okay. Where exactly? By the way, my surgery there, my hip surgery went very well. I never suffered any pain. It's 4 days after the surgery, I was out walking without any kind of support at all. I just carried some poles in my hand just in case I would fall. But, boy, that was sure a blessing there. And now I can walk really well after 2 weeks, 3 weeks, four. I've done practically 200 miles. Walked around in the mountains, on the top of the mountains and so on, up there around 6,000 feet. Wow, what a blessing. Yeah, I'm like a new man, a new young man now, even though I'm in my late 60s. Wow. So chapter 15, verse 17, Paul talks there about, "If the dead rise not, then is not Messiah raised? And if Messiah is not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins." I'd like to shout that to the messianic people in the assemblies there that are trying to discredit the Messiah as not being our Savior, and the messianic movement of all the absurd places for them to not believe in the Messiah when they are called messianics or messy. "And if Messiah be not raised, your faith is vain. You're not saved. You're not delivered from your sins. If Messiah was not equal with the Father, then it wouldn't have done any good for another human being to say that he was dying for the world's sins and dying for your sins if he wasn't even equal with the Father. He wasn't the perfect Lamb. He wasn't qualified then to be our Savior. But no, he is the perfect Lamb, and he did raise after 3 nights and 3 days from the grave. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Messiah would have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Messiah, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Messiah risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I lost my wife about 2 years ago. It says back there in verse 6, but some are fallen asleep. Yes, due to many, many problems we have here. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Adam, all die. Even so in Messiah shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Now here's the order. We don't just get raptured off to heaven when we die or at the so-called rapture, but it says right here in verse 23, but every man in his own order, Messiah, the first fruits, afterwards they that are Messiahs at the time they die, no, at his coming. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to Yahweh, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that should be destroyed is death. So that key verse there is verse 23. But every man in his own order. Messiah, the first fruits, afterwards they that are Messiahs at his coming. 23 there, we need to make a note on that, down on this, not on the computer, but on a sheet of paper. How original, huh? Okay, is Yahweh really saying, now we're going to transition here from the theme of what we are reading there in Malachi to a little bit about the law. Is James really saying to not keep the whole law? Let's see. In James chapter 2, verse 10, maybe it does sort of give some people the false idea that you're not supposed to keep the whole law. You can keep some of it. You can be partial in the law. Remember, we were just reading that there in Malachi. Well, they were partial in the law. I think it was chapter 2 of Malachi. Okay, James chapter 2, verse 6. But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? So they're breaking the third commandment. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So there is still a law there. If you've become convinced or convicted of the law as transgressors or breakers of the law. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, there's verse 10, whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So is James here saying that we shouldn't keep it at all, because if you can't possibly keep the whole law, you're going to break one law or another? No, he didn't mean to say that at all. That would be absurd. Why did Messiah magnify the law and make it honorable in Matthew chapter 5 and in Luke? Why did he preach that in the Sermon on the Mount to tell exactly how many of the laws should specifically be kept, and then turn around and say, well, but don't worry about it because you don't have to keep the law because there is no law? Galatians and so on. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, he also said, do not murder. Now if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill or murder, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Speak you and do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. We do believe in Yahweh, and that's the Father's name, is Yahweh. I don't claim to be a scholar of Aramaic or Hebrew language. I know some of it. But the one thing I do know is English. And I read the King James Version, and I have to change a few words when I see something that was altered there, like the word Lord, that it should be Yahweh. And the way I do that is I can go right back to a concordance or lexicon and see what the number of that word is. Look it up and you find out YHVH, Yod-He, Vav-He, the Tetragrammaton. I want to go to Psalm 103 now and lift up the name of Yahweh here. Psalm 103, also 105 and 111. 103, we're going to concentrate on some key verses, though. And this also talks about His name, to emphasize the name. It's very, very important. It says there throughout the book of Psalms to lift up His name. Oh, this is so beautiful here, isn't it? Thank you for joining me. Psalm 102, actually. Psalm 102:15 says, The heathen shall fear the name of Yahweh, and all the kings of the earth thy esteem. So even the heathen shall fear the name of Yahweh. So we must tell the heathen what His name is. When Yahweh shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His esteem. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come. And then, for He has looked down from the height of His set-apart place from heaven. Yahweh beheld the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of Yahweh in Zion, and His praise in Jerusalem, when His people are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve Yahweh. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my Yah, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Also see Hebrews 1:8. Of old hast thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yes, all of them shall wax old like a garment. They shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. So Psalm 102 talked about His name. Even the heathen shall fear the name. So shouldn't the nominal Protestants and Christians and Messianics, shouldn't they also fear the name of Yahweh? Not just the name of G-O-D, the title, the false title G-O-D or L-O-R-D or J-E-S-U-S, but the actual name of Yahweh, Y-H-V-H, or Yahweh or Yahovah. Psalm 103, 103, bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His separated name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Oh, let's refresh that again. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Well, in time anyway, that remains to be seen for a lot of us here. We still have some who have terminal diseases and so on. And it seems like they're following the path of Yahweh. Yet they're not healed yet, but there's a lot more to it than that. It's not that they're rebellious. It's not that they're not praying the right prayer or quoting the right scripture. There's just something else to it. And you folks probably know a lot more about the hardship, hard times, and the persecutions and the trials and tribulations a lot more than I do. I'm living here in the West Coast in America, you know, with all the groovy blessings of the Hollywood West Coast scene and all that, and I don't get into that, and television and their cruddy music, their stupid clothing, their dumb ways. We'll move on here. I could make a long list, though, if you'd like. Psalm 103, verse 4, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies the youth with good things, so that thy youth are renewed. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Yahweh executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He makes known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of men. Verse 10, He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him.
people come along and say, Como esta? Or Genki desu in Japanese. Or how you doing? Or how are you? You know. Well, I always tell them, I'm blessed. And then they say, well, I am too. But they're not thinking of the same kind of blessing I am. I'm not thinking of material, physical blessings, of worldly, earthly blessings so much as I am thinking of spiritual ones. Yes, that's how Stefan Yah and believers out there are blessed. That's how you are blessed, is spiritually. Well, you can't see it sometimes. But that's the way spirit things are. You just can't see it unless it manifests itself through our actions, which is very well better. Verse 17. The mercy of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Yahweh has prepared his throne in the heavens. His throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless Yahweh, all his messengers that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless Yahweh, all his hosts, or his armies, ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless Yahweh, all his works, in all places his dominion. Bless Yahweh, O my soul. Now let's listen to portions of Psalm 105 in the King James, changing the common words to the correct ones, as far as we know. Psalm 105. O give thanks unto Yahweh, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk of all his wondrous works, be esteemed in his separated name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek Yahweh. Seek Yahweh and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Yaakov, his chosen, he is Yahweh, our mighty one. His judgments are all in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. By the way, 1,000 generations would be, what? A generation is 40 years, so 40 times 1,000, that's 40,000 years. Man has only been on the earth for 6,900 some years so far, coming up to the 7,000th year on earth. So we've got, do the math there, 32,000 left to go or something. Which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. I'd like to repeat now verses 8 and 9. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when there were but a few men to number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yet he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And parenthetically here, or by the way, that touch not my anointed doesn't refer to that you can't criticize a speaker or a leader. You know, we're not above reproach. If you're a leader, you are not above reproach. And I can say, well, you are preaching this or that. That doesn't seem to line up with Scripture as far as I understand. You're saying that the new year starts at the wrong time of year. Now, according to the Scriptures, we go to Genesis, I think it's 1:14, that the stars and the sun and the moon were created for the moeds, for the appointed times. It doesn't say that Aviv appointed the times, or that Aviv is going to determine when the Feast of Tabernacles is, or anything like that. So you're not above reproach on that, and neither is anybody else on this earth. It says, touch not mine anointed. So what would that mean? To Well, certainly not to do them physical harm. Don't gossip against them. That'd be another thing there. Down to verse 26, he sent Moses his servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. Well, that's in contrast to today when they do rebel against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. Speaking of back there in Exodus chapter 8, the plagues. He spake, and there came diverse sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain, so that hail was not good, and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees and broke the trees of their coasts. He spoke, and the locusts came, and the caterpillars, and that without number they came. And they did eat up all the herbs in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. Or the caterpillar ate up the vegetation. He smote the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength, except for those who had the blood covered over the threshold of their door. 37, he brought them forth also with the silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in dry places like a river. He remembered his separated promise and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise Yahweh. Verse 45. Oh, that makes me laugh, because they want to turn around the Protestants, the nominal ones, that is, not all Protestants, not all Baptists, but they want to do away with the law. Well, here it says, the reason that Yah did all these things, so that they would observe his statutes. Then we turn around, oh, Messiah died on the tree, so now we don't want to observe his statutes and keep his laws, because he died on the tree. So we can stumble a blind man. We can move somebody else's property boundary. We can commit adultery or murder or anything. We're above the law. We're not under the law. We're above the law. That's what they think. But they are certainly wrong. And that once we're saved, we're not always saved if we break the law, if we do despite unto Yahweh's word, then we're on the way to Tartarus, down to hell. We're on the way to be burned up. Some say, well, we'll just be extinguished. It'll only take a second. It won't hurt. Just a second. I mean, I could endure anything for a second. Well, yeah. So you have no hell to be saved from. Don't worry about hell then. Don't worry that Messiah died on the tree for you to rescue you from destruction, whatever kind of destruction you want to make it. Why did people believe the doctrine of a burning eternal hell up until the Jehovah's Witnesses came along 30 or 40 years ago? Actually, they came along in, 1911? Psalm 111 now, as we mark the word. All 10 verses. Praise Yahweh. I will praise Yahweh with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of Yahweh are great, sought out of all of them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and magnificent, esteemable, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. Yahweh is gracious, or Yahweh is favor. I think the word and full of compassion. Don't take my word for that. I thought it was C-H-E-N. It could be a different Hebrew word. But he has given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Or sure. Also see Psalm 93, verse 5. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. So truth and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Now some of his commandments, most of his commandments are sure. No, all his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Separate and reverent is his name. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. That was Psalm 111. Then Psalm 128 for two verses. Blessed is everyone that feareth Yahweh, that walks in his ways. Blessed is everyone that feareth Yahweh, that walks in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy or joyful shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. It talks about the wife. The wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Oh, Hallel. That's in Psalms there. I wonder if this would fit in right now, because you know, the husbandman is the Messiah. Yahusha is our father. It says there in Isaiah 9, we read this morning. But he is our everlasting father, the mighty one, the everlasting father, the Prince of Peace. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, here I just have one verse for that, or three verses for that. Paul says, would to Yahweh that you could bear with me a little bit in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Oh, okay, Paul, we will. For I'm jealous over you with a goodly jealousy. Yes, jealousy can be good. Don't let people tell you that it's wrong for a husband to be jealous of his wife if she's flirting with somebody. It is right for a man to be jealous. He should not let the little foxes spoil the vine. He should get in there and you know, kind of change the spirit of the conversation. Go in and change the conversation away from that, and get her focused off of this wonderful, more charismatic, more handsome man than she thinks that for that moment that you are, and that it's okay to be jealous. For I am jealous over you with goodly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband. Yes, not only the one husband, the woman that you married, but also the assembly, that we are the bride, and Yahusha is our husband. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Messiah. There is the key. We must be a chaste virgin. Some Baptists, some Protestants, some Catholics, some Messianics say, well, it's okay to go a little bit over the line here and there, and have some compromise here and there, have a little bit of fun. Why not go out and have a little bit of fun? Ah, yeah, go all the way. Yeah, oh my, all night long. Oh my. Yes, the song says, but to be a chaste virgin. So that means we got to maintain our spiritual virginity and present the tokens of our virginity when Messiah returns to lift us up, and forever we shall be in his sight. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through her subtlety, or Hava instead of Eve, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Messiah. Well, there's not a real good word, simplicity. Some of your other more modern versions actually change that to a better word. And I can't remember what that is. Well, it's okay to laugh about it. Let's see, that your mind should be corrupted from the pureness, for example, that is in Messiah. But anyway, you can look that word up in your concordance there if you like. It's okay to keep things simple, but not too simple, and do away with the meaning of it. To go in deeper, that's fine. It doesn't have to be so simple that even a two-year-old can understand it. It's okay to be a little bit more complicated than that, in my humble opinion. Psalm 145, verses 15 to 21 now, and we'll probably go about an hour. Psalm 145, starting at verse 15 now, if you'd like to read along with me. 145, 15. The eyes of all await upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Yahweh is righteous in all his ways, and separate in all his works. Yahweh is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, or in verity, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Yahweh preserves all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of Yahweh, and let all flesh bless his separated name for ever and ever. Hallel and hallel. Hallel. People say hallelujah. I don't know where the Lulu came from, but anyway, maybe it's legitimate. But I just say hallel, or hallel Yahweh, or hallel Yahusha. Hallel means to praise him. So looking back, we talked about our national sins. Divorce and remarriage is rampant. Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton set the standard there in America back in the 1960s and 70s when they got married and divorced 12 times. Some of our other national sins, I count about three or four, five national sins in America, and also in many other countries there's even more of their national sin. The reason it's national is the government actually promotes it. The government is promoting these national sins, such as sodomy. That's promoted in businesses. Businesses have to agree to tolerate, accept, and even promote sodomy. Another national sin is abortion. And, idolatry is another one. But there's so many things we could bring to mention and think about and pray about. The reason we bring it up is not so we can complain and say, oh, things are terrible. The sky is falling in. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen next. What will happen next? Well, sometimes nothing will happen next, but I think that things are warming up a little bit, and that we're probably pretty close to the end times, around 2030 or so. Sodomy, abortion, divorce and remarriage, and idolatry, and Sabbath breaking is always been a national sin for forever. That's been a big one. Why is there war? Well, in Ezekiel, as well as many other chapters and books, Jeremiah, Isaiah, they tell us that there will be war. Yahweh says there will be war if we will not obey his law. If we don't love him, then he's going to allow the Hivites and the Hittites and so on to attack us, the Palestinians and so on to attack us. So we've got to toe the line, so to speak, come up to the standard. Going to Ezekiel 33 now about a quick idea here. Let's see. 33:18. On a beautiful Sabbath day, which is also a new moon, and some are celebrating Yom Teruah a month early here because they go by the Aviv calendar. So I'm not condemning them or criticizing or belittling them in any way. I don't know if there might be a chance that they are right, but I just think it seems like Genesis 1 says that the moon and the sun determine our moeds. Ezekiel 33:17. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of Yahweh is not equal. When the righteous turn from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall even die thereby. When a good person who's been good all this time, as good as you could be, turn from your goodness or your righteousness, and you commit sin, then he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. I go back to verse 13. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commits iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he has committed, you shall die for that. So much for, there he goes, eternal security. kick that out the door and tear that out of your... It's not in the scripture. Read the book of Jude or Hebrews 5 or 6. I think it's Hebrews 6. So we've done away with some of these false theories that we're not under the law, but we're above law. That's a false concept by which Yahweh's word is denied. We could look at Psalm 1 or Psalm 119 or Psalm 19. So those some of those verses like in Galatians chapters 2, 3, and 4 might seem to some to do away with the law. If that's the initial basic understanding that a brand new believer has, is by going to the book of Galatians based upon their past mindset and their world, their global view, then they're going to come up with the idea that the law was done away with and that you don't have to keep the feasts and that you can eat clean and unclean. And they go to run to Romans 14, and am I going to the right one there? But Romans something anyway, 14. It seems like Paul is saying that you can eat any old thing you want. Or you could go to, Matthew 15, and Messiah seems to be saying, let's see here, that it's okay to eat anything. In vain, he says, verse 9, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he talks here about it. I'm not going to get into heavily and proving and disproving this, but it says, verse 19, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And these are spiritual concepts as well as outward ones also. See 1 Corinthians 6:18. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Ah, that's the key to that whole chapter there, isn't it? Verse Matthew 15, verse 20. Wake up now. Yeah, don't anybody be dozing off. You can't do that. Or we'll send that big thug over there, the sergeant of arms, over to shake you out of your chair. Verse 20, these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. So that whole chapter is not talking about that it's okay to eat the clean and unclean, the abomination. No! If Messiah said that, then he's not our Messiah. He's not the perfect lamb, because he would have been doing away with the law and with his father's law. Woe unto them that move the landmarks, the spiritual landmarks in our life. Praise Yahweh for the ones who are making the landmarks where they should be, where Yahweh put them. Isaiah 5, and we've got a couple of minutes to go here. Well, what happened? Did I tear Isaiah out of my scriptures when I was trying to do away with the law? Isaiah chapter 5, at 8 and 9, and also keep reading there. Isaiah 5. Oh, these are power chapters. And now, go to. It sounds like computer language there. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof. And it shall be eaten up and broken down the wall thereof. And it shall break the wall down thereof, and it shall be trodden under. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug. There shall come up briars and thistles. I shall also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Well, some people say, well, that'd be fine with me. I hate it. I can't stand the rain. Well, yes, if you got 32 days of rain, that's too much. I might almost agree with you. I'll command the clouds that they have no rain upon it. No, rain is a blessing. Yes, he sends the rain upon the just and the unjust. The vineyard of Yahweh of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. He looked for judgment, but beheld oppression, for righteousness, but beheld a cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Well, it's okay to get out in the wilderness and have yourself a little private spot there, but we don't want to be so anxious to take up all the property, not be so selfish, that I want. I got to have this. I got to have that man and that person's. I covet this, covet that, you know. So no coveting. Down with coveting today. In my ears and Yahweh of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield an ephah. And not going to go over that. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow drink, that continuing until night, till wine inflame them. That doesn't mean that all wine is bad, by the way. And the harp and the viol and the tabret, the pipe and the wine, and is in their feasts. Lots of good musical instruments, but they regard not the work of Yahweh, neither consider the operation of His hands. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because of what? Because we want to fund the United States government with more weapons and put in the Republicans into power? No, it says, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are fashioned, and their multitude drieth up with them. Therefore, hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their esteem and their glory, actually I could use that word literally there, and their multitude and their pomp, P-O-M-P, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it, into that big deep hole there of hell. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But Yahweh of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and Yahweh that is pure shall be set apart in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope, or, in other words, little by little. The idiom there, cart rope, means a little by little, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the pure one of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. All churches want to have it all, don't they? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. I could say, well, hey, wait, I know my heart is right. Yeah, that's what everybody says, right? My heart is right. Everybody thinks their heart is right, except for the true believers who truly know their heart, that it is not right. It's not always 100% right. You know, maybe my heart is 92.75% right. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Woe unto them. Those who justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. That's been done here to me. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of Yahweh, of hosts. They've cast away the Torah of Yahweh hosts and despised the word of the Holy One, or excuse me, of the Pure One of Israel. Therefore the anger of Yahweh kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them. And the hills trembled, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. There's always that mercy. His hand is stretched out still, and he will lift up an ensign to the nations from afar, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth, and behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary, nor stumble among them. None shall slumber, nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latch of their shoes be broken. Whose arrows are sharp, and all their bows bent, their horses' hoofs shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look into the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also Yahweh sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, with twain or two. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried unto another and said, Kadosh, 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 or separate, 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 or pure, pure, pure. Pure is Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of his esteem. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King of Yahweh of hosts. That's Isaiah 6, verse 5, and I'll stop there. I think of going through a store, and they're blasting that corrupt music there, that modern music. And there's nothing wrong with new music in itself, per se, but it's just the wrong spirit, the wrong culture. It's not the Yahweh's culture, and it's repulsive to me. And so when I read that there about, I dwell in the midst of a land of people of unclean lips, and I go through my community of 2,000 people in the West Coast here, and I wonder, yeah, that's pretty small, and I wonder, where is the righteousness? Where is the spirit-filled, covenant-keeping, law-keeping people who are extrapolating on Yahweh's law and, talking about Yahweh's word and about, eating and drinking and being with Yahweh's people and loving each other and loving the word? I don't hear that. I know people around me are not talking like that. And it's disappointing, but I got together with Yahweh's wonderful people at the time of the feasts. These people are keeping feasts up near Salem, Oregon, a month early in my view, but there's nobody keeping it a month later when it should be. And, the season that we think that it's going to be in does not determine when I think, well, it's snowing or it's raining or it's sunny. That doesn't determine when the feasts are. By tradition, I say, well, it shouldn't rain or snow or anything because it's the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. But that doesn't determine it. That's just my own understanding of what I'm used to doing with, say, a different group way back in the 1990s. And I think that, that we always kept the feast then. It was about the pagan month of September. By the way, that word is okay, September. I just condoned it. No, I found out from Hezekiah, who's got a website there, Jews for Yeshua, and I don't approve of 100% of everything that Hezekiah has on that website, Jews for Yeshua, but I approve of 110%, but no, there's a certain amount that I do not, so you got to use your head there and compare it with a word sometimes. If he says that the feasts are a month earlier than you think, if he uses the Shua or the Holy Word and stuff like that, well, some is worse than others. Some error might be tolerated. But anyway, what I'm saying is I believe I need to get together with somebody anyway. And I don't want to compromise, but on the other hand, I don't want to just be alone and just be Stefan, just Steve or Stefania, and just sit around by myself. I want to get together with you and people on the whole earth. Well, that'll be someday. Zechariah 14 or Zechariah 14, we are all going to go to Yahweh in his feasts and keep the feasts with Yahweh in the eternal, in New Jerusalem. And that, that'll be what a day, what a year, what a wonderful time is coming of separated people, just as righteousness. As Daniel said, and then I'll finish here because we're about an hour and 10 minutes in, and some people don't want to download too long of a file. Daniel 12, and at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never there was a nation even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. See also Jeremiah 30. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth. Many sleep in the dust of the earth. My wife down there, She's sleeping. She always slept through my message anyway, so what's the difference? And many of them that sleep in the dust... No, she didn't. In the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness shall be as the stars for ever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Shalom. This has been a message about the final warning before his coming. Hallel Yahweh. Maranatha.